Us. Praise God. Brother Howard's going to be in the house again tomorrow morning and tomorrow evening. And next Saturday, we've got a ministry fair and youth explosion the following weekend. Starting March with Brother Greg Godwin. But I tell you, I'm looking forward to this weekend. Tonight and tomorrow, God's going to move in an awesome way in this house. And I believe Brother Howard, they've gone to Austin, Texas to pastor. Been there about a year, a little better than a year now, and getting settled in, doing a great work for God. And he's not traveling much now, but he came to see his friends tonight. I believe he's brought something in the Holy Ghost. I believe he did a wonderful job for us at Alabama Revival Conference last July. Awesome time in the house. I want him to come tonight and take his liberty. I appreciate him in the Lord. He's a good brother in the Lord. I appreciate his revival fervor. I appreciate the walk that he has, he and Sister Howard and their boys. And I just appreciate the good ministry of God that's working in their life. And we count them as friends, not only personally, but of this church also. Extend your hand toward him and pray for him tonight as he comes. Come take your liberty, Brother Howard.
Amen. Now stretch those hands towards the heavens and give God some praise. Shabbat the Lord right now, somebody. That was feeling good now. Shabbat the Lord, somebody. Blessed is the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name. Somebody to Tehillah the Lord right now. Somebody Kara to the Lord right now. Go ahead. This is Saturday night. That worship was feeling good. Because they're dancing in the cantina tonight. They're dancing at the club. We're not going to let the devil outdo us tonight. At New Life, there's something that we got that the world didn't give it to us. And the world can't take it away. We're not going to sit down on the preaching. We're going to set some fire for the weekend. Weekends were made for apostolic warriors. It was not made for laid-back, sissified, no-backbone Christians. It was made for people that are done with their work, weekly work, and saying, this weekend, we're going to take it a little bit higher. I said, we're going to take it a little bit higher. Turn to your neighbor and say, we're going to take it higher. Amen. If you have your Bibles, would you turn to the book of Job? While you're turning to the book of Job, let me add a little bit to the testimonies. They give way like the John the Baptist. Amen. Making way, a path for the preacher to come. I believe the word of God gave inspiration to me to let me know we're on the right track. Job chapter 1 and 2. Let me digress to Jeremiah chapter number 23 and 29. He was talking about the hammer a minute ago. Amen. Where's the brother out in the back row? We've not met yet, but let me tell you, there's one more hammer. Verse number 29 in Jeremiah 23. Is not my word like a fire, and is not it like a hammer that breaketh forward? I believe the hammer of the word is in the house tonight. And if you got devil trouble, I got a hammer that'll crack the devil right on top of his old skull. And let come on, let's whoop the devil this weekend. Let's whoop the spirit world this weekend, New Life, and say we're going to go a little higher. Someone say higher. Job chapter number 1. Greetings to all of you in the name of the Lord. We'll save our salutations and acclamations and proclamations and dedications for tomorrow. Job chapter number 1, verse number 1. There was a man. Everyone say there was. Say there was a man or a woman. I'm going to apply it. Amen. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was perfect, upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil. And there was born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. His substance was also 7,000 sheep. Everyone say 7,000 sheep. And 3,000 camels. Everyone say 3,000 camels. 500 yoke of oxen. Say 500 yoke of oxen. And 500 she asses. Everyone say 500 asses. And there was great, his very great household, so that his this man was great in all men of the east. And his sons went and feasted in their houses every one his day, and sent and called for their three sisters to eat and to drink with them. And it was so, when the days of their feasting was gone about, that Job sent and sacrificed them, and rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, "It may be," everyone say, "It may be," "that my sons and daughters have sinned and cursed God in their hearts." This did Job continually. That's not my message, but mom and dad, if you want to keep your children, keep praying for them and keep sacrificing for them. Someone say amen. Verse number 6 is where I want to go. "Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also with them. And the Lord said unto Satan, 'Whence comest thou?' And Satan answered the Lord and said, 'From going to and fro in Alabama, Birmingham, and from walking up and down the streets.' And the Lord said unto Satan, 'Hast thou considered the saints of New Life, that there is none like them in all the earth? They love God, they're perfect, and they fear God, and they want to run away from evil.' Then Satan answered the Lord and said, 'Does New Life, does Job fear God for naught? Hast not thou made a hedge about him?'" Someone say, "Thank God for the hedge." Someone say, "Thank God for the hedge." "And about his house, and about all that he has on every side. Thou hast blessed the work of his hands. His substance is increased in the land. But put forth thy hand now, and touch all that he has, and he will curse you to your face." And the Lord said unto Satan, "Behold, all that he has is in thy power." If you're still with me, say amen. "Only upon himself put not forth thy hand." So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. And there was a day, everyone say, "There was a day," when the sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in the eldest brother's house. And there came a messenger unto Job and said, "The oxen were plowing and the asses were feeding beside them. And the Sambians fell upon them and took away them away. Yea, they have slain thy servants with the edge of the sword. And I only am escaped alone to tell you." While he was yet speaking, there came another messenger and said, "The fire of God has fallen from heaven and has burned up thy sheep and thy servants and consumed them, and only I escaped alone to tell thee." While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, "The Chaldeans made out three bands and fell upon thy camels and have carried them away." If you're with me, say amen. "Yea, and slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell you." That lets me know there was three that escaped. Someone say, "I'm going to be one of the three." "And behold, there came a great wind in the wilderness, smote the four corners of the house. It fell upon the young men, and they are dead. And I am only escaped alone to tell thee." Then Job arose, rent his clothes, shaved his head, and fell down onto the ground and worshiped. And he said, "Naked I came into the world, and naked I shall return. Amen. The Lord giveth, and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Someone say, "Blessed be the name." Blessed be the name. Someone say, "Blessed be the name." Let me go on just a little bit. Chapter 2, verse 7. "So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord, smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his feet unto his crown. And he took him a potsherd and scraped himself withal, and he sat down amongst the ashes." Then it got to the very end, and he said, and his wife said unto him, "Dost thou still retain thy integrity? Why don't you just curse God and die?" Someone say amen. Turn to your neighbor and say, "This is your story." Tell him, "This is your story. And preacher Howard's going to preach about you." Turn around, someone say, "He's going to preach about you." Turn to someone two rows and walk over there, shake their hands, look them in the eye, say, "He's going to preach about you tonight." Come on, one or two, where two or three gather, agreeing upon one thing. He's going to preach about you. He's going to preach about the Suttons. He's going to preach about the Howards. He's going to preach about the Shouters, the Singers. Amen. He's going to preach about Joe Lunchbucket that's full of the Holy Ghost. He's going to preach about the sound man, the Sunday school teacher. Amen. Whatever your position is. He's going to preach about every little boy, every little girl, every little teenager, every grandma and grandpa. Everything that has breath, the preacher's going to preach about tonight. Now, the title of my message is, amen, you got to know and you know where I'm come from, but I just got to reach back to who I am and what I am. Amen. The title of this thought tonight is, Tell Me Something Good. How many with me right now? You got to say it with me. Tell me something good. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Amen. Turn around. I got some Motown folks and raising. Amen. I'm not going Motown, no. Amen. But it's just in my crawl. Amen. I got to hear something good tonight. Are you going to help the preacher preach tonight? Don't make me beg you. Don't make me stop just to get you with me. I feel like somebody can come out of some darkness. Somebody can come out of some trial. Somebody can get out of depression. With the apostolic gifts of the Spirit, the preaching and the saints of God that agree together. Hallelujah. Amen. Tell your neighbor he's preaching about you and you may be seated. Praise God. Amen. Now, I forgot his name already, and it's not new to me. But brother, pastor, amen. Tucker, brother Tucker, Pastor Tucker, amen, was testifying a few moments ago, and he got to talking about what God's doing in his church. But if you were listening real close, you might have seen between the lines, he was talking about a man that was an alcoholic, and now he's sitting on his pew, he's quit drinking, amen. What I'm telling you is, he wasn't here talking about the devil, he was here telling somebody about something good. But I tell you where he hit the nail on the head. He got to talking about all the bad things that are going on right now. Every time I turn a page of the paper, every time I pick up a Newsweek, every time I go through the newsstand, every time I hear the radio, I don't own a television, so I can't watch it to find out what's there, but I know what's there. I'm not ignorant. I know what's going on, and all I ever hear about is how bad things are. Iran and Iraq and Korea and Germany and Russia and China and the economy and this and that. I'm to a place I'm tired of hearing about the bad stuff. I want to hear something good. You see, we're living in such a world, amen, that is full of negativism, and everything's down, and everything's bad. That's why a generation has said, forget it, amen. We may as well party, get loaded, get high, do crack, do ecstasy, because it's bad anyhow, and we're never going to change it. But I beg to differ with you. There is a group of people at New Life that have come to a decision in their life. I've heard something good in this world, and it ain't about dope, it ain't about rock, it ain't about sex. I'll tell you what it is, it's about Jesus, that he can deliver you, he can save you, he can put your marriage back together, he can put it all. You may be seated. I find in the book of Job, a profound book, full so many little nooks and crannies in the book of Job that I would not have time to talk about tonight. There is 30 some odd pages about the life of one man. Can I tell you, you have one life to live, and you better live it for Jesus Christ to the very fullest, because you're going to have a beginning and you're going to have an end, and somewhere in there, there's going to have to be a divine intervention of God that comes on you, that changes you and helps you out. I'm preaching about a man by the name of Job tonight that was blessed of God because, amen, he loved him. He trained his family to love God. He had 7,000 sheep, 500 yokes of oxen, 500 she-asses, and his house was great, and he was blessed. He had 700, 3,000 camels, and everywhere around him was blessed of the Lord, on the right hand, on the left hand, wherever he went. Everything was all right, but there came a day. Everyone say, there came a day that the sons of God and Satan got themselves in a little cuddle around the throne of God. And Satan popped up and said, have you considered some of the servants of new life? Amen. And God said, yeah, I know exactly where they are. And Satan said, if you give me just a little chance, I'll show you that they're hypocrites. Amen. And they don't mean what they say, and they'll curse you to your face. God backed up and said, do your best. And all of a sudden, servants began to come to Job, one right after the other, and said, Job, did you hear what happened? While we were down at your son's house, things began to take place. I'm telling you, people want to tell you bad news all the time, but I'm here now preaching bad news. I'm going to tell somebody something good. God's about to break forth on you like you've been waiting for. My God, I feel the Holy Ghost right now. You may be seated. Someone say amen. I am not preaching specifically for the whole crowd tonight. I'm specifically telling somebody, I am preaching for you. You have been waiting for God to break forth, but there's been messengers that have come to you that have said, your sheep are gone, your camels are gone, your servants are killed, everything around you has been stripped. Amen. Your sons, your daughters, everything in your life has been destroyed, but there's got to be something in you that says, you know what, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. I'm not about to give up. I'm not about to backslide. I'm preaching to someone that's in a dark cave, and depression and anxiety has gripped you to the top of your head, to the bottom of your feet. I'm about to tell you something good. I'm going to digress here. I'm going to pinpoint some folks here tonight. Amen. You may be seated. They've looked at their lives and they have seen devastation. We are living in a day that not just in the world, but even in the ranks of Pentecost and apostolic churches, people that are called by the name, people that are Holy Ghost filled, churches that are pushing forward in revival, there's an onslaught of hell that's trying to destroy from the top all the way to the bottom. If you've been serving God 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, or you're a brand new babe, 1 month, 3 months, 6 months, a year, there has never been, amen, an attack on the people of God like the day and time that we're living in. It what used to be in the 60s and 70s and the 80s, that we would not hear about some of the attacks that are happening upon great saints of God that have determined to serve God, but because of the enemy has come in, amen, and given them a message of despair, amen, and there is no hope, and devil has stripped them of their faith and have left them empty pockets, and they sit on the pews trying to figure out, God, all these years I've served you, I've been doing my very best, and is this all I get? Amen, serving God, and they stand there bewildered because they look at their lives now, my God, and they look at where they are, and they look at what they've had, and the devil comes to them and say, you see, it doesn't profit you to serve God. It'll never be a great way of serving God, but somebody's going to rise up out of the ashes, and they're going to say, the Lord giveth, and the Lord taketh away. I will not speak against God. I will keep my integrity. The book of Revelation chapter 12 says that the devil has come down with great wrath. He is angry. There's a fuming fury upon the spirit world of demons. Lucifer being the perpetrator, amen, to destroy the saints of God. The Bible says in Revelations that not only is he angry, he's going to try to weary out the saints. You know what he's going to try to do? He's going to bombard your mind and get you so discouraged where you don't have the faith to say Shabbat. You don't have the faith to lift your leg. You're just going to go through the routine and come in. But there's going to be somebody in the midst of despair, anxiety, and frustration that says, you know what, God? Everything else has been taken away. I'm going to come in. They can't take my Shabbat. They can't take my Kara. They can't take my Tehillah. They can't. As long as I have breath, I'm going to worship you. They'll take everything away from you. The devil will try to destroy you. The devil will try to get you in such a place in your life, amen, that you will look in the mirror and you'll say, what's the use? Amen. Why do I live this way? Why do I live this standard? Why do I go to church? Why do I go 3-4 times in revival and I'm never blessed? It seems like I'm still driving that old clunker of a car. Amen. I don't have a new dress like sister so-and-so. That brother got another raise on his job and I'm still filling out applications. Somebody hear me now. Amen. There's coming a time in your life when you are going to say, I'm tired of the messengers of doom. I'm tired of the messengers that keep telling me I'll never be nothing. I'll always be fat. I'll always be ugly. I'll never achieve anything in life. Somebody is going to have to stand up and say, wait a minute. Is there anybody that can tell me something good? You see how he's going to weary you out? I'll tell you how. If he gets your mind so confused and bombarded with so much negativism, amen, that you're going to start believing what you're thinking. I'm here to tell New Life there is a better way of thinking. You need to tell the devil, shut your mouth. I am not going to turn my back on God. I've come too far. I'm talking to preachers, amen, that are out there, amen, trying to do a work for God. I'm talking to preachers in this church right now that you feel like, oh my God, I got to do something. I got to make it happen, amen, but I haven't had the chance and I haven't had the opportunity. I'm talking to singers that have not been on this platform yet, that the devil has told you that you'll never be anything for God. Your guilt and shame has overpowered you and you sit in darkness, but let me tell you what some good news is. Yeah, though I sit in darkness, I shall rise again. You know what? I'm preaching to somebody that needs to get out of that pew and start running because you haven't ran in a long time. Somebody that used to shout needs to get in that aisle and say, this is it. I'm coming out. I'm coming out of this mess. I'm coming out of this situation. And you watch people run by. You watch people shout. But you're still there. Trapped in. Amen. Your own imagination. That's why it's so important. It's all in your mind. You may be seated. Everything that Job had, amen, had been stripped from him. I know what it's like. Amen. To be stripped of everything. Amen. That you have. Stripped of your possessions. Stripped of everything. Amen. That you called substance. I know what it's like. Amen. To have your friends turn on you. I know what it's like to have ministry turn on you. I know what it's like. Amen. To be in the dark and the gloom. Oh, you see this, sorry, Brother Howard, that positive, jovial, amen, ADD, Holy Ghost filled, amen, apostolic. But you don't know where I've been. I know what it's like to be down. I know what it's like to be in misery. I know what it's like to be scraping yourself and you're trying to figure figure out, I guess I'll go sell used cars. I guess I'll just pick up a shovel. And all of a sudden, when the negative messages are coming to you and your pockets are empty and the bills are piling up, until finally, amen, the devil says, just give in. Amen. There's going to be a preacher that steps to the podium and begins to tell me something good. And I know what that message is. Hold on. Hold on. Hold on. Jesus is still coming. I know what it's like, amen, to see your loved ones, amen, backslide. Amen. I've told it before, but I feel like saying it again. Are you with me right now? I know what it's like to see a young teenager that's in your house, amen, decide maybe I shouldn't serve God. Maybe I'll go the way of the world. Maybe I'll just forget about all this preaching stuff, amen, this church stuff. And you as a mom and dad are saying, no, no, amen. Moms and dads, hear me again. You know what you need to do is quit yelling at them and quit screaming at them and get yourself in that prayer room and start making a sacrifice and saying, God, amen, don't let the devil take my boy. Don't let the devil take my daughter and make a sacrifice. If you got backslidden children, you shouldn't stand or sit in those pews. You should get out there. I'm making a sacrifice. I'm making a sacrifice. I'm making a sacrifice. Is there a mom and dad that'll make a sacrifice tonight? Is there a mom and dad with a backslidden boy or a daughter? Amen. They'll say, you know what, God? I don't understand it, but I'm going to make a sacrifice. Job knew that his sons and daughters were sinning. Job knew that his sons and daughters were struggling. He didn't go to them. My God, I don't know where I'm going right now. But Job didn't call him and say, now look here. Amen. I know you've been doing this. I know you've been doing that. I know you're dead and you're on restriction and I'm taking that. No. You know what he did? He went into that closet called prayer. Amen. Moms and dad, if you would take that energy of anger and you'd put it on an altar and saying, God, you gave me this boy. You gave me this daughter. I got a burden for somebody right now. You know what's going to keep a boy or daughter in the church? A mom and dad praying. A mom and dad praying. A mom and dad praying. I wasn't going here in this message, Bishop. I was not going here, but I'm looking across this congregation. I don't know. It's not my place here to say what I want to say. Amen. But I'm looking out across, and I got a hold of Reggie. I said, Reggie, come here. You come over here. And so I'm looking amongst the family, and I don't see a whole lot of visitors tonight. And, yeah, that's about right. There might be one or two. I said, all right, I understand that. But I'll tell you, hey, man, your pastor and pastor's wife has beaten on the doors of revival for a long time. I told him today, or yesterday, I was talking to someone on the phone. I said, I'm telling you, there's things in New Life that I wanted. I took pictures tonight of the building. Amen. We're about to build a building. I'm going to build one just like you. It's going to be about the same size because there's things, amen, that New Life has that I wish every apostolic church had. I wish every church in Alabama had what New Life had. I wish there was a bunch of apostolic churches across our fellowship that had the intensity of worship and praise and the integrity of a man of God and a woman of God that breathe and live and eat revival. I'm telling you, New Life, heaven knows your name and hell doesn't like it, but I'm here to tell you some good news. You're going to have revival. It's one thing for heaven to know your name, but I like it when the devil knows. Paul I know, and Jesus I know, and New Life I know. But here's where the bishop can set me down. Amen. But there's one thing. Amen. And I put my head and scratch my head thinking about the ingredients. Amen. That churches have had. And your pastor pursuing, amen, those avenues. And he has this leadership. And he has these preaching. And he started these meetings. And everything's coming together. And the music is there. And the integrity there. And the hunger is there. Amen. But every time that I've been here, amen, I've shouted with you. I've ran with you. But tonight, amen, right before church, amen, I kind of got my finger on it. Amen, I don't know, but I was just thinking in my own mind, as long as I've been together with you, amen, there has never been a time when I've seen this many people in the prayer room. I got to get off that now. You don't want to hear about that. Oh, come on, let's get back to Shabakin. Let's get back. Amen. One thing, amen, Brother Sutton, that I'm seeing in some of the churches is collectively, amen, in those revival churches, the people made their way not just to worship. They said, I got to get to the prayer room before church. I've got to get in the prayer room. Amen. Oh, hear me, New Life, as just a brother in the Lord underneath the bishop, we've got to set the prayer room on fire. I don't know the avenue of prayer. I don't know if this church prays at home, but I'm telling you, as I was in the prayer room tonight, amen, I was saying, God, we need a prayer room with about 50 men and 35 women. Amen. Before service, there's something about the sacrifice of prayer. I done lost some of you now. Job understood, if I'm going to keep it all together, amen, I'm going to have to find this place, amen, of prayer. And I'm telling you, Brother and Sister Sutton, I know they pray. I know they pray. And I know some of you pray. Amen. But I'm telling you, amen, there is, amen, something, amen, about that collective prayer. Amen. Before church, we're coming in Shabakin. We're coming in and tequilin. I didn't say tequila, did I? Amen. Sorry if I did. Amen. But there's something, amen, that you come in and all hell has been fighting you and all depression is on you, and there's going to be some things that not shouting's going to get done, that singing's not going to get done, and I got a feeling that even this preaching ain't going to get it done. But if you will take time to make a sacrifice in prayer, the things that you have lost, God will begin to restore to you. Can I be myself here? I know this is being recorded. It might even go on the internet. I don't mind. Amen. My predecessors before me. Amen. In Austin, great men of God. Keith Clark and Chris Kraft. Great evangelists. Great preaching. Great everything. I've known that from this infancy when it was started. Amen. But when I came, there was just a handful. Amen. That was praying in the sanctuary. They had no prayer room. And all the evangelism and all the preaching and all the singing Sister Howard does, I realized one thing. God, I gotta have a prayer room. I gotta find a place where I know that when I'm struggling and I'm weak and I'm weary, as a saint of God, I can walk in that prayer room and there is a prayer warrior. Amen. There is a prayer sister, a prayer brother. And I'm saying, God, before the first song starts, I'm gonna go. Praying in the sanctuary. Church was struggling. It went through a transition. Amen. New pastor. I said, God, we got to get in that prayer room. We found this little fellowship hall. Amen. We started going in there. It was tight. Oh, it was tight. And I kept pushing prayer. You got to be here for prayer. You got to be here for prayer. 6 months, 6 months prayer. You got to come to pray. You got to come to pray. Amen. I start a youth huddle. Amen. We pray from 5:30 to 6:30 at 6 o'clock. We call it youth huddle. All the youth had to be there for 15 minutes. They got around in a huddle. Amen. Just like football players do. And they got in the 15-minute huddle. Amen. They got to praying. Then we stuck each young person in that prayer circle. And they got to praying for them. All the adults would come around. Amen. And then someone transferred. Amen. That came from a church that prayed. And her name's Lisa Gomez. Amen. She would kneel down. This is all she'd do. Amen. She'd get in the prayer room. And it was pretty quiet in the prayer room. Amen. But there was noise going on in the prayer room. And I said, my God, amen, this is what I'm looking for. And then another man transferred in. He got to pray and realized, Jesus! And he was a loud mouth, but I like him anyhow. And before you know it, amen, 6 months of zeroing in, amen, for the last, amen, 4 months, amen, every service, someone's getting the Holy Ghost, somebody's being baptized, amen. I got to thinking, wait a minute, I've been trying to put my finger on all the flyers and all the singing and all the preaching, and I'm telling you, it was in prayer that we were missing it before church. I know that you pray in your home, but hear this little preacher tonight. We've got to make a sacrifice before this church service and say, God, pull it down. Pull it down, God. Stand with me right now. Raise your hands in the air. Amen. And begin to pray the sacrifice of prayer. Amen. Saying, God, save my family. Not through my shouting. Not through my singing. Save my family through my prayer. Come on, New Life. We got all the ingredients. And maybe that prayer room ain't big enough. But I'll tell you what. If we ever got a consistency of not only making this the shouting house and the running house and the flipping house and the singing house and the preaching house. If we could ever make it a house of prayer. Come on, keep praying. Come on, give a sacrifice of prayer. No drums, no music, no organ, nothing going on. Preacher's about to back out. Hey, somebody is going to make a prayer for revival. Somebody is going to say a prayer for revival. Come on, New Life. God's talking to us tonight. We need some old-fashioned prayer. Old-fashioned prayer. Oh, God. Bishop, correct me if I'm wrong at any moment. We got to get back to some old-fashioned prayer. Somebody grab their wife's hand. Some young daughter, some young boy, make their way over to their mom and dad. Amen. Some single person, grab a hold of a spiritual mother or father. Walk down to this altar, stand here in prayer, and begin to sacrifice. Church ain't over. Church ain't over. Don't clock out on me. Come on, Sutton girls. Come on, Sutton son-in-laws. Come on. And if you're a grandparent, come sit on the front rows. If you're a visitor, I'm here to tell you something good. The only thing good in life is Jesus. And the best direction I can give you is to pray and talk to him. Job didn't have a choir. Job didn't have a preacher. Job didn't have nothing. He lost everything. Job lost everything, but he never lost his prayer life. You see, they can pull the plug on the electricity and there won't be an organ and there won't be a drum and there won't be microphones. But that's not what revival is. It's not about the building. It's not about our singing and our media. Come on, New Life. Amen. One thing. We're passing out thousands of flyers. We're singing the latest songs. Oh, my God, you got some of the greatest music. But, oh, God. Give us a prayer room on fire. Give us saints of God. Give us young people. Give us young people. Give us young people. Give us young people that'll pray. Hear this preacher today. I'm preaching to me and to you. Amen. We need more prayer. We need to pray like we've never prayed. We need to seek God. We need more prayer meetings. We need prayer in the home. Prayer before work. Prayer before school. Pray when we go home. The word of God is like a hammer tonight. It's time to break our pride. Some of you, oh God. You hear me? You want to build that little church? I know you want the music and I know you want the messages, but nothing can ever replace a man and a woman praying, 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 praying. I've come to a decision in my life with all my energy and my personality and my charismatic ways and all the music and all the preaching and rocking the house. I'm telling you, Bishop Sutton, it's all about prayer. It's about prayer. It's about prayer. It's more than the Spirit moving during the song service. God will do more for this church through prayer than He will ever do in revival meetings with preachers and evangelists. I'll tell you why some of us don't pray. It's the same reason that Bishop Sutton came to this podium tonight and exhorted you. He says, grab hands with somebody and begin to pray and pray for mercy, that some of you might have sinned this week and God would have mercy. I'm telling you, that's the spirit that Job had. He said, oh God. Unless my sons and my daughters might have sinned, I've got to take them to prayer, because prayer is the only thing, amen, that keeps the hedge of God around you. Listen to me. Listen to me. Let me say something. Let me say something. I don't want us to... Be sensitive to the Lord. Let's be sensitive to the Lord, everybody. Let's worship the Lord, everybody. Let's raise our hands. Hallelujah. Be sensitive to the Holy Ghost. I said, raise your hands. Don't clap your hands. Hallelujah. Let's wait on the Lord. Hallelujah. God's trying to talk to us here. Hallelujah. It's very obvious the Lord is trying to talk to us, to hear clear sound, to hear clear voice. Whether through gifts of the Spirit or whether through preaching, God is trying to talk to this church. We're not done yet. I believe the Lord still is doing something, but I want to ask you something. Be sensitive. Be sensitive. Be sensitive to God. Let's raise our hands and worship the Lord. Don't clap. Raise your hands. We're not clapping in praise. We're reaching out to God right now. We're not shouting. We're not clapping. We're not running. We're standing at the Mount of Sinai right now. God's calling us. You can only go so high in worship. You can only go so high in praise and music and preaching. Preaching brings us to the very bottom of the hill of Sinai. But someone's going to have to go up into the secret place. Israel was brought out with a mighty hand of miracles and signs and wonders. Brought out with the voice of God. But yet, there had to be that secret place that Moses found in the cleft of the rock. Leadership prayer meeting. Amen. Where we talk about the church. Where the leaders looked at them as she came in. Amen. With her t-shirt and her sweatpants. Travis had his shorts. Amen. And a t-shirt. And they're sitting down there with baby Luke Dean. My name's Kelly Dean. They named it Luke Dean after me. Hallelujah. Amen. And the leaders got to look around and said, yeah, that's right. Shelly and Travis is here. And you're trying to figure out why they're in a leadership prayer meeting. I'll tell you why. Because I'm going to teach them how to pray. Shelly said, Brother Howard, Pastor Howard, I'm afraid. I don't even know how to pray. I said, good. We're going to teach you how to pray. All the leaders got to praying, and Shelly got over there on the chair. She said, Brother Howard, I don't even know what to say. I don't even know what to do. I said, just start listening to people. Just start mocking them and saying what they're saying. And she said, well, I don't know what to do. And she just started rocking back and forth because she's seen somebody else rocking back and forth. And she said, I don't know. I just said, just start saying thank you, Jesus. Just start saying thank God for your pastor. That's a good one right there. Just start saying thank God for Luke Dean. Thank God for Travis. Thank God you're not on crack. Thank God you're not where you used to be. Thank God you're not eating out of a garbage. And she got, okay. Hey, man. She said, you know, I'm scared. I said, just do it. And all the leaders were there. And they were just praying and repenting over their old things. And all of a sudden, Shelly got to, oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank God for my, and before you know it, hey, amen. she got in a spirit of travail and prayer, and the spirit of prayer got a hold of Shelly, and every service she's walking in now on Sunday mornings and Sunday nights and Wednesdays, and she's starting to pray people through. Amen. She's starting to work in the altars. She's starting to get a prayer life. She's starting to intercede. You know why? Because we need to be in prayer. Let's all stand. Amen. I'm closing. Shelly and Travis are now praying. A spirit of prayer has got on them. They're new converts. They don't even know, but I'll tell you what. Amen. They're praying. Amen. We were praying in the altars the other day, and we had about 10, 15 people there. And, you know, someone says, I'm going to visit Brother Howard's church to see how he does things. You know, I try not to pray people through all the time like that. I try to get other people to do that. And so there was people up there, and I said, come here, you visitor. Bam, bam. Came up here and started praying them. You believe? Yes, yes. Tongue. Yeah. You know how I do it. All of a sudden, what? Boom. Start speaking in tongues in the church. Hey there, ho there, hi there. I'm as welcome as can be. You got the Holy Ghost? Good. Just making sure. Just learn how to pray, sis. Just learn how to pray. And I got old Shelly. All the other converts, all the saints are saying, I got old Shelly. She's wild. I grabbed her by the hand. Come here, Shelly. Start praying with these people right now. She says, I don't know what to do. I said, well, I'm going to teach you. And I said, just start praying with these young people. Oh, Shelly got excited. She didn't know all the protocols, and she just started praying with them. And all the young people who were looking at her like, my God. I said, Shelly, don't let them go until they're talking in tongues. Don't let them go. And so Shelly got to praying all these young people through. Then I got this another new convert, the lawyer lady. I said, come here, Linda. Amen, come here. Here she is, amen. There this lawyer lady is in charge of 13 secretaries, works for three of the biggest lawyers in all of Austin. Amen, I said, Linda. She's going, what? I said, you're gonna start praying with these young people. She says, I don't know how to pray. I said, good, then you won't mess up. I said, start praying with these young people. And before you know it, I stood back. And oh, Sister Linda, the lawyer, intimidated lady. And oh, Sister Shelly, crackhead, praying through. Amen. They were praying anything through that moved. They got all those ladies, and they got some of those old sisters. Amen. And some of those sisters that's been in ministry. Amen. They got to praying with them. And